Hello, this is Elder Brandon Hartfield. We're thankful to have this opportunity to come and be on the radio broadcast again this week. We certainly desire the prayers of those of you who know the Lord, and by the Lord's help, we certainly pray that we could be used of God to be a blessing. I do want to mention that starting next Sunday, our home church is going to be having a revival, and we're certainly looking forward to that. Lord willing, Brother Darren Webb is going to be with our home church. And again, our home church is at Clear Branch Missionary Baptist Church, located at 564 Purvis to Brooklyn Road in Purvis, Mississippi. And Lord willing, we'll be having Monday through Friday, 7 o'clock nightly services. We're looking forward to that. We're praying for Brother Darren. We're looking forward to him coming and being used of God to bring us the messages that we stand in need of. And certainly we give you an invitation to come. Again, that's not this week. That's next week. That'll be starting Sunday, October 27th. Of course, going Monday through Friday that week, 7 o'clock nightly. And we're looking forward to Brother Darren coming and being with the church and services. And again, invite you to come if you'd have the opportunity. And before we get started with the message today, as always, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Lord, we're so thankful for the many wonderful things that you've done for us. Father, you've been far better to us than we deserve. And Father, we pray that you would lead and guide us by your Holy Spirit. Help us to accomplish your will in all that we do, Father. And Father, we pray that you would bless in the service, bless in the message. Father, that your will could be accomplished. You know the burden that you've given us. Help us to deliver it in the power and demonstration of your Holy Spirit. And for the good that is accomplished, let us step aside and give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to do something I haven't really done in a while on the radio broadcast. We're going to kind of go through a book together. In all honesty, we're going through two books, 1st and 2nd Timothy, that we felt burdened to preach on. I occasionally do this. I was looking back on some of my notes and noticed we really haven't done this in a while. And there was a lot of things just going on in the world and even in my heart and mind that we were dealing with and praying about. And the Lord burdened our heart to turn to 1 Timothy to begin this. And you're going to notice that a lot of what we're dealing to today, whether it's in churches, whether it's in society, politics, all these other things, that's all been prophesied about before. That's all been dealt with before. You know, there's kind of nothing new under the sun. It's things that have been done. It's things that we've gone through. It's things that we've dealt with. It's things that humanity has faced. I think what's different in our day and time is we're really dealing with a lot of these things in the church. And what we're dealing with is we're dealing with a great lack of knowledge among God's people about the Word of God, and because of that, all kinds of damnable heresies have come into the church. Many of those leading people away from Christ and even away from salvation. So there's just great horrors that are coming, and the only way to adequately deal with those things is from the authority of Scripture. To point those things out, to acknowledge evil where there's evil, wrong where there's wrong, right where there's right, and to stand upon that which is righteous and holy. That's all that God's people can do. We can't make anybody else in the world do anything. But we can live as God has taught us to live. And we can be the light to the world that God has taught us to be. And we need to get focused on that. And there are several things we'll try to deal with as we go through the book of 1st and 2nd Timothy that I pray could be a blessing to you, and especially to those of you that are lost, that you see that God has seen these things well before time, and that what's happening in our day and time has taken him by no surprise whatsoever. But we're going to begin in verse 1 of chapter 1 of the book of 1 Timothy. And it says here, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace, from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. And you see the relationship that Paul has here with Timothy. He called him my son in the faith. The relationship that they had was kind of a father and son relationship. And not only did Paul have this with Timothy, he had this with other young ministers, that he loved them, he cared about them, he desired to be a blessing to them. I know that whenever a young minister announces his call to preach, I try to give them an invitation and try to spend a day with them. I know sometimes they'd say, well, we could come, you know, on a midweek service to do this. And I try to have longer conversations with them than that. I do that on purpose. I desire to get to know them. And I desire them to know that I'm praying for them, that I'm burdened about them, that I'm concerned about them. And that's not just a one-time thing. We try to continually talk to the young ministers, not necessarily on a month-to-month basis or just even on a week-to-week basis or things like this, but just try to keep in touch. And when we run into them, ask them how we're doing. Remind them that we're praying for them and, you know, encourage them in the ways of God, to let them know our care for them and the work that they're doing. And we don't only try to do that to ministers. We do that to even our brothers and sisters in Christ. There's still people that I pastored years ago when they were in elementary school, middle school, high school, that I still keep in touch with them today and occasionally touch base and just let them know I'm praying for them. Let them know that I hope they're doing well in their marriages, with their children, their families, that you know that you continually care for them because you have a sincere burden for them. And those things should be. They should be there, and they should be in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ with God's people. But he goes on in verse 3 and says, "As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do." And so he had made a charge here to young Timothy. And he's told him, don't teach any other doctrines. There's been a set of doctrines, a set of things given unto the church. And he says, you don't need to go away from that. You don't need to turn to the left hand or to the right hand. You just need to stick with the doctrines of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, in many churches today, you've got it where people go with these endless genealogies and these endless questions about, well, what about this? This is what the church has always believed. Is this right? And they just go down a list of things, not for edifying, but things that cause strife. Things that cause confusion. And listen, I have no problem with good, biblical, sound questions. But there's a lot of people who attack plain Scripture. And when I say people, I'm talking about people in pulpits, people that are Sunday school teachers, people in places of authority in churches that attack what God teaches plainly in the Scripture. I come across many Christians that attack what God desires for the woman and what God desires for the man, what God desires for godly parents and what God desires for godly children and what God desires for godly neighbors. And I see so many doctrines being attacked with foolish and unlearned questions in our day and time. And I wish that churches wouldn't give heed to it for a moment. And I certainly wish that preachers wouldn't give heed to it to a moment. There's things that are not edifying or beneficial to the body. And there's sometimes people say, well, Brother Brandon, why don't you preach on this subject? Why don't you preach on that subject? Where it's not a subject biblically concerned that I stay away from in the Scripture. But I don't go down chasing rabbit holes. That's not what I'm going to do. I'm not going to be so focused on trying to present something new or something somebody's never heard before. Because in all honesty, if I'm preaching the truth of the Word of God, I should be preaching the same thing that Paul was preaching or Peter was preaching. Or even going back in the Old Testament, things that Moses was teaching. That I need to be sticking with the same doctrine. It's not something new that's going to benefit people. It's the same word of God that was first delivered unto the saints that still needs to be preached. Now, I might present it in a way that somebody hasn't heard in a while. You know, there's many times I preached a message not too long ago, even where I pastored, and there was a couple of people after church said, I've never heard it preached like that. And I thought to myself, well, that's the exact way it's written. And it, you know, I wasn't trying to teach something new. I thought I was just encouraging them in something that had already been taught. And maybe that's a failure on us as ministers, that we haven't taught the things as they should be taught. And so when people finally hear them, it's new to them. It's amazing to them. I'll never forget, I filled in at a church on a Wednesday night. We have Tuesday night service where I pastor, so sometimes a preacher will have me come and fill in, whether they're sick or in revival or whatever, on a Wednesday night. And I filled in at a place, and I'm not going to call the name, that wouldn't be edifying or beneficial. But I filled in at a church, and after service, you know, people were just kind of asking questions and talking about the Bible, and this went on probably 30 minutes after church. And we got in the car, and my wife was with me, and she said, "What's going on?" And I said, "What you saw is," I said, "people who are starving for the Word of God. They're saved, but they're not being fed." And I think a lot of times preachers do this kind of stuff unknowingly. I was talking to a minister this past week, and he said, "I'm just amazed at how much basic doctrine people don't know. Just the basics." And I go, "I know what you're talking about. I know when I first started preaching, I preached some doctrines. I thought, well, everybody settled on this. God, why are you even giving me this to preach? Everybody already knows it." And I just started teaching the basic doctrines. You know, salvation, security of the believer. Baptism is by immersion, comes by the proper authority after a person is saved, after their profession. I'm talking about just basic stuff. And I had people in those churches said, "I don't know if I believe that." And I was like, "What? This is the milk." And the amazing thing is I have people that choke on milk try to tell me how spiritual they are. If you're choking on milk, don't tell me you're able to take the meat. Because that's just foolishness. But I've come across a lot of people that choke on milk. I'll even make this statement. I preached one time from the book of Proverbs. And if you don't know, the main part of the book of Proverbs is probably a teenage son being taught by his father what he needs to be as a man. That's the basics. It's a father trying to say, "Listen, you're going to be accountable to God. Here's some roles you're going to have in your life. Here's some things you're going to face. Here's how you need to be a man. Don't fall for this trap. It's basic scriptural knowledge. You know, don't run after the fair-looking woman because more than likely she's poison instead of what's good for you. And, you know, stick with the wife of your youth. Be content. You know, have integrity, honesty. I mean, this is basic stuff. And I was preaching from the book of Proverbs one time, and I had a pile of people in that church tell me how deep I was getting in Scripture. In all honesty, it broke my heart. I was thinking deep. I was like, "This is first week's milk. This is before you put in the cereal in the milk when you're feeding a baby. This is the basic liquid form milk." And even on some of that, I can tell you some people choked on what I preached out of Proverbs. And as a young minister, I can tell you it broke my heart to see it, because all of a sudden the knowledge was hitting me. People are not nearly deep in the Scriptures I thought they were. They didn't have the knowledge that I thought they had. And there's a lot of people trying to prove their knowledge, and all they do is jot about questions instead of rooting people and grounding people in the things that are essential in their spiritual walk with God. That's why I said, you don't give heed unto fables. Don't go down this rabbit hole. Don't go where Satan wants you to go. You preach exactly what's been taught to you. You preach these doctrines. You stick with these doctrines. You uphold these doctrines. And I tell you what, there's a lot of that is not done in churches today. He said, "Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart." And that's the end of the commandment, not the beginning. There's a whole lot of people that have got that backwards in our day and time. And it's because they have no knowledge. He said, and of a good conscience and a faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling. They're making noises, but they're not really saying anything. And trust me, I've been in some services over the years where preachers said a whole lot in the message, may have preached for an hour, but really at the end of it didn't say a whole lot. Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Now notice here, he's not tearing down the law. He's saying people are preaching things about the law that are not scriptural. And they're not preaching the law the way that God intended it. The purpose of the law is to show our sinfulness and point us to Christ. That's the purpose of the law. And then after we're saved, we're to have that law in our heart because we want to honor God. We actually want to obey that law and go by the things that God has taught because we know what is honoring and pleasing to His sight. Now, we know that some of the law has been fulfilled in Christ and it's no longer done. But outside of that, the moral law is still in full effect and will be until the Lord returns. And we need to uphold it. And we need to teach people of how when they've broken the law, that they've made themselves guilty before God. Of course, they were born that way, and we could go into another doctrine of that. But it gives evidence that they're not right with God. It gives evidence that they need to turn and trust in Christ. It gives evidence of their condemnation, is what the law does, which helps us see again our need of Christ. And he's saying, listen, the law is good if we use it lawfully, but there's a lot of people trying to use the law to accomplish their will instead of the will of God. That's bad. He said, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, which we all are without Christ, aren't we? He says, for the ungodly, and for sinners, and for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers, and murderers of mothers, and manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, and that's sexual perversion, including the sin of homosexuality, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. The law is for what purpose? To correct that. To show the sinfulness of it, to show the evil of it, and to point people to the truth, the way that God would have them to live, the way that God desires to save them through Christ. He said, according to the glorious gospel of our blessed God, which was committed to my trust, and it's committed to the trust of the church, to the trust of every minister that the church ordains. And we need to take it with the seriousness that God has entrusted to us. That's why it's not my job to preach what I want to preach. It's my job to preach what God wants me to preach. It's my job to preach what God has written down. Not what I think or I feel or all these other things, which is where a lot of churches have gone. Well, I feel this about that scripture. I feel this. It doesn't matter how you feel. I've even had some people say, well, preacher, I've read that scripture, but I don't feel convicted about it. Then you need to go back and check your salvation, or you need to go back and check your relationship with God since you've been saved. Because something is wrong somewhere when you read that God is displeased with something, and then you say, I don't feel convicted about that. There's a problem somewhere in your relationship with God, whether it's that you're not a child of God, or whether you have broken your fellowship with God because of your desire to follow your lust, instead of follow the will of God. If you can read Scripture and know that it contradicts what you're doing in your life, and you say, well, I feel fine doing what I'm doing, you have a huge spiritual problem. You have a huge spiritual problem. And for preachers not to preach against it means that we don't love you and we're failing in our duty to tell you the truth. He said, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Notice he didn't put himself in the ministry. This isn't a field that he decided to go into himself. God called him. And the only confidence I have in any minister is one that tells me that God called them to that place. And then they prove that to me by they fit the qualifications of a minister. That'll be dealt with in chapter 3 of this book. But he's saying that God counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And we're certainly all thankful for that, aren't we? This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Notice what Christ came to do, to save sinners. Now with that, we need to understand not only God's love, but God's righteousness. To save sinners, you have to prove to somebody that they are a sinner. Because nobody's repenting and trusting in Christ if they first don't see themselves condemned and on the road to hell. If they don't see themselves as a sinner, they're never going to see the need for salvation. And both of those are very important. And I am thankful that Christ came into this world to save sinners. And I certainly know who I am as a sinner who has been saved by the grace of God. And I know who everybody else is on the face of this world. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. There's none of us that deserve salvation. There's none of us going to live good enough where God will accept us. The only way to be accepted of God is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus came into the world, so that he could pay our sin debt, that whosoever would turn by faith and believe upon him should be saved. If any preacher preaches anything other than that, they're preaching falsehood. He said, howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. In other words, to prove that even a person that persecutes God's people, they'll repent, can be saved. That shows a pattern, doesn't it? That God will save even those who have shown hatred towards him and his people, if they'll repent and believe the gospel in Christ. He said, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And Paul's looking at himself and knowing that he doesn't deserve this salvation, and knowing the great love that God has loved him to give him this salvation, he has that desire to preach it to others, doesn't he? As we, if we have seen ourselves and know who we are, should have a desire to share the gospel with others also. He said, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Oh, delivered them unto Satan, huh? In other words, withdrawn fellowship from the church, shame them, so that they could see what they're like without God. But he talked about holding faith and a good conscience. That good conscience is how we stay true to the Word of God. How we hold to that Word. How we hold fast to Christ. And when people leave that, they're lacking in their love for God. They're lacking in their desire to serve Him and be that God would have them to be. And there's so many today that are putting people above God. What did Paul say? He said, if I'm the servant of men, I'm no longer the servant of Christ. If I'm putting men above God, then something's wrong. I actually was in a church one time, and I heard a minister preaching his message. He said, if I have a choice with going with the traditions of the Bible or doing what I feel is best for the congregation, I'm going to do what's best for the congregation. Which we know that if you're going the ways of the world and feelings and emotion, leaning to your own understanding, you're not doing what's best for the congregation. And I was probably 21, 22 years old at the time, and my jaw probably hit my chest. I was just in shock. I was like, what in the world did he just say? I said, did he just say what I thought he said? He's saying that he'll choose to serve the people over God? I mean, that's heresy. Just in case you don't know, that's heresy. And let me say this, he got plenty of amens on it. See, but that's some of the falsehood that's come into the church. There are many Hymenaeuses and Alexanders that are standing in pulpits today. Many of them. And they have membership in churches in so many places. And I've come across a lot of it over nearly 20 years in the ministry. And it has broken my heart every time I've seen it. Because I'm going, shouldn't we be loving God? Shouldn't we be putting God first? This is just basic stuff here. But sadly, people are putting themselves and others before God. And that's backwards. And it causes damnable heresies to come into the church. That little bit of leaven can leaveneth the whole lump and make us useless of being the light that God would have us to be in this world. We need to get back to the Word of God as Paul is encouraging Timothy here. He says, I'm charging you, son Timothy. I'm charging you to keep that prophecy, that preaching, those things that you've been taught, those things that you've been shown. I'm charging you. You keep that faith and a good conscience toward God. But you walk this way. Don't walk trying to please me. Don't walk trying to please everybody else. You need to have that good conscience toward God. You need to honor Him. I tell you, that is needed so much in God's churches today. Because the only thing that is edifying to the body is what God gives to the body. I'm not the edifier of the body. Now, I can be edifying to the body, but only as I follow Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ. If I'm not following Christ, I am no longer edifying to the body. If I'm not preaching the doctrines and principles of Christ and the Word of God, I'm no longer a benefit to the church. I'm actually a hindrance to them. We need to remember that truth. And we need to repent and get back to it before we forget who we are and what we're here for. Because it's certainly not to please ourselves or to please others. It's to please God and to be a light for Him in this present world, to point people to Jesus Christ. That's what we're here for. And I pray that's what we do. This is the burden that God has given us today. If you would have anything upon your heart, our number is 601-606-4681. You can write us, Brandon Hartfield, 8 Smith Drive, Hattiesburg, Mississippi, 39401. You can email us, our email address, brobrandonh@aol.com. That's brobrandonh@aol.com. We pray this could be a blessing to you. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll take this message, use it to your honor and glory. And Father, for the good that is accomplished through it, let us step aside and give you the praise. For it is in Jesus' name that we do pray. Amen.